Fabulous finish as Oregon beats Michigan by 1 point. Oregon was up one. They went to the foul line, and they missed the free throws. And then Michigan got the ball back down one, Doug, and they had a chance to win it, and they missed the shot.
Yeah, incredible look. Dribbled down the court, got open. I mean, you can't argue with a little hesitation between the legs. And the Michigan guard got a wide open look just right off the rim. Great game. Oregon, 3 seed, moves on, beating Michigan 69-68.
All right, we had a good thing going in the last half hour before we got to Damon Stoudemire, and I want to pick that up. We heard from a lot of Raider fans.
Yes.
And my contention is that if the Raiders move to Las Vegas, they will lose a good part of their fan base. Not the majority, okay? I don't believe that. But I believe that they will lose a lot of their fans. And by a lot, I'm not putting a number on it. I'm just going to say a lot.
Well, initially, Grant, I wasn't sure because I thought it was leaning more towards Raider fans were going to roll with the team wherever because they had already left. But I'm leaning a little bit more that way after hearing these callers. I mean, you can hear the passion in their voice, and I think this is probably a little bit of an iceberg of what is out there and how they're truly feeling.
All right. I'd love to hear from you. If you're a Raiders fan, we want to know. If the NFL votes on Monday to approve the relocation, will that affect your allegiance to the team that you root for? Because I think a lot of fans, it will. Now, there are also a lot of fans that won't, but I told you about the story of our fellow employee who's a season ticket holder, loves the Raiders, and I asked him this morning, if the Raiders move, what will you do? He goes, I won't be a fan of the Raiders anymore. I'll just root for the NFL. And I'm like, wait a minute. You go to every game, right? He said, yes, I go to every game. I go every game. He said, yes. He said, I didn't go to the Christmas Eve game this year. I said, okay. Doesn't mean you're not a fan. It means you're a family man. So you're not going to root for the Raiders. He goes, no, I'll just root for the NFL. How about that?
That's something. Grant, when you think about this, okay, let's put it into this. You tell me, if, let's say it costs $100, and these are just round figures. Let's say it costs $100 to go to a Raider game. We're just talking one person. And just, I guess I want to multiply it. What do you think it's going to cost? Obviously, you got to put airfare and a lot of different stuff on it, but give me a number in your estimation. Costs $100 to go to a game here in Oakland. What do you think it's going to cost a Raider fan from the same area, let's call it Sacramento area, to go to Vegas and attend a football game?
Including airfare?
Yep. There, from door to door. I'm going down and I'm coming back.
I will say a minimum of $500.
Wow. Five times,
yes,
for a Raider fan to be able to support their
correct
team. And we had a guy call in and said he goes and he took a family of, I think he said six.
Yes.
And so for him, that would be $3,000.
A minimum of $500.
Wow. That's a big jump, man. That's a big jump.
All right, and I'm figuring you get a cheap ticket, so I'm gonna go $100. Each way. So $200 in airfare.
Okay.
If you buy your ticket in advance. I'm going to say a minimum of $200 for your ticket to the game.
Okay.
Expenses getting to and from the game, concessions, et cetera. I'm thinking $500.
Wow. Man.
That's just going on Sunday and coming home on Sunday night. That doesn't include a night over there in Vegas.
Right. And that probably doesn't include, like, you're up. You're sitting up. You're not going to be, you know.
No.
You're in the Coliseum. You're not.
You're in the stadium.
You're right. Okay.
That's it. All right. Let's get to Mike. Hello, Mike. What's going on, Mike?
Well, I tell you, I wanted to call and weigh in on this Raiders discussion. I've been a Raider fan for a long, long time, since the mid-'80s when I was in high school down in Los Angeles. And, you know, I became a big-time fan when they were in L.A. I went to school up in Chico and have been a NorCal resident ever since. And when they went back to Oakland, they're still my Raiders. So, you know, Los Angeles, Oakland, you know, sure, if you're from there and if you've got a longtime love for the city and all that, that's, you know, that makes sense and I get that. But I've been with them in L.A., I've been with them in Oakland, and if they go to Vegas, great. I'm still going to root for them. They're still my Raiders, and you know, maybe that'll just push me to have one trip to Vegas every year.
Hey, Mike, did you go to games here in Oakland?
Yes, I did.
Did you go
to season?
Did you go to games in Los Angeles?
Only made it to a couple of games down in L.A.
Okay, so then you probably will make a trip to Vegas then.
Yeah, I probably will. But okay. You know, if anything, that'll push me to make a run to Vegas with my buddies or something.
Yeah, right. You'll make a weekend out of it.
You bet. But it's not going to change how I feel about them. They're still my team, and they're still the Raiders. The logo's not, you know, I'm not going to change it at all. You know, maybe just a little bit when they make that move, but it's still Raiders, man. You gotta stay with it.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Let's get to Jason. Hello, Jason.
Hey guys, how you doing? Happy Thursday to you. I'm actually a huge Steelers fan, always have been, all Pittsburgh teams. I'm actually wearing my Steelers sweatshirt right now. But ever since the unfortunate passing of Mr. Davis, I've actually secretly rooting for the Raiders. So I've never been to a Raiders game. I've actually never been to a Steelers game, even though I played college football with a lot of players that played on both teams. But I actually, if they move to Vegas, I am more inclined to be a fan of the Raiders and will actually go see a game, probably the Steelers play the Raiders, when and if they do move.
Why is that? Why is that, Jason?
You know, I just think the Sacramento and the Kings of the old, I was a ball boy the very first year the Kings came. So I remember, like, the enthusiasm of the team. All the players, I mean, I was around all the players. My dad worked the shot clock for, I don't know, 25 years or so. And so I've been around professional athletes my whole life. And just the feeling that Sacramento has, I feel very much similar to what fans have for the Raiders. And I have a lot of relatives. My brother-in-law is a huge Raiders fan. So I think this will be like, when people are in college, they go for road trips and they have these lifelong memories. To me, I see that is what I want to create with my kids, with my relatives, my friends, my new family, and something that is really unique, which a lot of sports don't have nowadays. Like, we don't really have a big college atmosphere other than maybe Stanford and Cal, which a lot of people in Northern California, Sacramento, and in that area really aren't into the college sports. And I think the Raiders kind of takes that place of that fervor and that atmosphere. So I think you're going to find a lot of people, even though they're saying they're not going to go, they're going to actually get hooked into some kind of a road trip, and they're going to end up going down there and having the time of their life, creating memories. And I think that's really what's going to be happening. It's going to be a destination where everybody can kind of come together, you know, for that purpose, kind of like a college atmosphere, if you will.
Jason, do you feel that the Raiders, because this is something Grant and I have talked about many times, we talked to some of the college, do you think that the Raiders will have a home field advantage at all? Because based upon what you're saying, a lot of other teams, Kansas City, Denver, it seems like what you're saying would be a reality, that a lot of teams and fans, this will be a destination that they're going to choose to go to.
Yeah, I definitely, I mean, economically, heck yeah. I mean, everybody goes to Vegas, right? I mean, that's just kind of a cultural thing for people to go to Vegas. So I would say yes, but in my experience, like, I know Steelers are probably the Steelers and maybe the Broncos and Pats are some of the most traveled teams around there. And I think the Raiders will slip into that group. Wherever the Raiders are going to go, you're going to see people that are going to get used to the idea of traveling to Vegas to see their team. They're going to say, heck with it. We're going to go to, you know, Tampa or to Boston or you know, wherever, to, you know, Indy or whatever. It'll become kind of the thing to do.
Thank you for the call. We're going to get back to more phone calls right after this on Sports 1140 KHTK. All right, we got a lot of phone calls to get to, Doug, so we're going to do it. And again, if you want to get in, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Robert, how are you today?
How you guys doing?
What's happening?
Hey, I just wanted to call you all the time, and I'm a Raiders fan. And I'm really at a loss for words on what I'm going to do. I'm one of those guys that, just like you with your Yankees and Giants and Kings since you've been here, I don't change teams, you know. But I will say this, it's I'm 47, so I started watching the Raiders in about 78. So I remember, you know, when Plunkett first came to us and that 80 Super Bowl and Kenny King and just that whole deal. And then they went to, you know, in L.A. And I still followed them. Happy for him to come back. I just can't, as a Raiders fan, picture them playing. And now, I believe the facility that they're talking about may not open. Is that true?
Yes, that is correct. There would have to be, due to the heat, I don't know if it would be a retractable or it would be a dome, but yes, the field would be covered. Right. That's correct.
Yeah, I just, I don't know. Call me old school or not, but I remember Ted Hendricks and Matt Millen and Van Egan and Howie Long and Alzado just with mud and dirt, jerseys dirty, and just passion.
I hear what you're saying, but it would not be prudent to be playing football in Vegas without a dome. Just couldn't do it. You'd kill people.
I know. And Doug, you touched on it. I know you guys have before. I've been to many Raider games. I've been there when, you know, 10, 12 years ago when it wasn't a real good time to bring your kids around. And I've got memories of things in the stands you guys would probably not believe, even though you've heard.
Right.
Good and bad.
Right.
But I just can't. Here's the deal. When you go to a Raiders game, especially how good they're playing now, I'll tell you what, they had a serious home field advantage last year. They played better on the road, but that's just one year. You know, I cannot picture that in Vegas because you're going to have a multitude of different people in that stadium every week. And you know, if without the glitz and glamour of Vegas, that market, I want to say, is the second or third smallest in the NFL.
Yeah, it's the 40th market. Milwaukee is 35, and again, there were some smaller markets. Yes. Hey, listen, you bring up some good points. We're going to get to some other phone calls, but thanks for chiming in, Robert.
Thanks.
Appreciate it very much. Eric, you're on Sports 1140.
Hi. Hey, Grant. Hey, Doug.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call. I've been a longtime member of Raider Nation myself, and you know, the news that they might leave is especially upsetting, considering how well their season was last year. And the way I look at it, you know, it's like if you found out that your son was gay, and I don't think I could accept it. You know,
I'm not even going to go there, man. I'm not even going there. Ken, hello, how are you?
Hey, Grant. Hey, Doug. Thanks for taking my call. I'm sorry, I'm in the call. In the car.
No worries.
I'm a longtime Raider fan. I'm 53 years old, and, you know, I basically grew up out there with my dad back in the 70s when he had the season tickets and all. We went through the L.A. thing, and it was never the same. I mean, we stomached it, but it was just not the same. I've been a season ticket holder now since 1995 when they first came back. I've got 5 seats, and if they move to Las Vegas, I'm just going to go on the record that I'm completely done with them. Enough's enough. I mean, I believe that Oakland is the Raiders, and the Raiders are Oakland, and that whole area and East Bay and Central Valley is the Raiders. And I'm just disgusted with this. I just don't get it. I think they're going to lose a huge, huge portion of their hardcore fans. The home field advantage will be very neutral. And, I mean, I'm just so upset about it that, I mean, I just got great memories. And just like you do, Grant, with your dad.
Yep.
With the Giants and Yankees.
Yep.
And I lost my dad 2 years ago. Thank God that, you know, they were still the Oakland Raiders when he did pass. And the greatest thing he ever gave me was before he passed, he gave me a Sports Illustrated, and it was when they won the Super Bowl.
Wow.
And he said, I want you to have this. And I said, well, thanks, Dad, but I just didn't get it. And he says, really look at that cover. And I stared at it. I did not get it. And he says, look at it. Look at it real hard. And it was Al Davis's Sports Illustrated.
Dad's wow.
Home address on there.
Wow.
Wow.
My dad worked with the guy.
That's amazing.
Al's limo driver. And
that's incredible.
He picked up Al at his house in Piedmont up there in the Oakland Hills.
Yeah.
and drove him to the airport. Al was reading his Sports Illustrated, and when he got out of the limo, he left the Sports Illustrated and gave it to my dad.
That's awesome.
I now have. So
that's absolutely unbelievable.
That is awesome,
it is,
kid.
You know what? You don't even have to say any more. That's incredible.
Yeah. So
thank you, Ken.
Just the feelings, and now I just feel that, you know, my dad has passed, and if the Raiders move,
yep,
it was a great chapter in our lives, and we're going to, you know, begin a new one without him. So.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, Grant. Thanks, Doug.
Yeah.
30 seconds. Yankees, Red Sox, 1978, one-game playoff, Monday afternoon, noon start at Fenway Park. You remember this, Chris, or are you not born yet?
He wasn't
Listen
born.
Closely, Chris. You might learn something here.
Or your hat will blow up.
One-game playoff. So in my fraternity house, the game started at noon, and I got down there at 8 in the morning to make sure I had the TV reserved, right? I had my away Yankee jersey on. I had a batting helmet. I had the hat. So I switched from a batting helmet to the, you know, cap when they went into the field. So Yankees win. Did you hear that, Chris? Bucky Dent, 3-run homer over the monster. You ever see that highlight, Chris? Anyway.
Look it up.
3 days later, there is a manila envelope in my and it was from my dad, and he had all the clippings from all the New York papers of the Yankees one game playoff, and he wrote a note, he goes, Grant, I know you were in class on Monday and missed the game, so here are the clippings of the game. Is that a classic or
that
what?
Is. Good luck, Pops. Not a chance.
All right. Well, 30 minutes left as we continue on with your phone calls here on Sports 1140.
It's 6:26. Time for RC Country Hobbies. More than toys for big boys. It's for everyone in the family. 6011 Folsom Boulevard, Sacramento.
All right. If you're on hold, we'll get right to you next. 30 minutes left. Grant Napier and Doug Christie. 339-1140, 800-920-1140, and it is John. Hello, John.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
What's happening?
Great. So I want to talk about the Raiders. I mean, I want to say I fall in the category of most normal fans. Love my team. You know, they've been moving every year since 95. It's so old now, I really don't care. I've been to games, I've taken my kids, I've been to championship games, playoff games. I mean, I understand Oakland, it's just not probably the best city to have the team. I like them to stay, but I really want just what's best for the team. And I've invested so much in my home entertainment system that I just don't go to games as much. As long as they come on TV, same with the Warriors, you know, I love them. I used to go to a lot of games, but I've invested so much in my entertainment center that the best place for me to watch the games are at home. And as long as they still come on in my market, I always root for them. I mean, I'm not diehard. And if I do want to see them, at least I know it's just a less than an hour flight away to catch them. So,
yeah, do you realize how much money you're talking about, though? And I don't mean to be disrespectful because I have no idea what your income would be or what your – But I mean, we're talking about a quite an investment. Do you understand that?
I understand that, and you know what? It's all an investment. I remember when I used to go to the Warrior games, and I could buy the cheapest ticket and walk down to the lower bowl,
right?
And no one cared.
Yeah.
But
right.
Now,
yep.
You know, it's ridiculous. So
right.
It's, you know, the sports. It's an investment now. If you want to see, especially when your team gets good, it's going to be an investment. I know there are peaks and valleys, so I don't have to go when they're good. I mean, you know, I can always wait for it to overturn, you know. But like I said, I just don't go to the games as much anymore. I'm not, you know, I love them to death, but I find it so much more comfortable at home in my living room, and I feel like I got the best seat, you know. And same with my pops. I mean, he's had tickets since the 70s, and he just said, you know what, son, I'm letting them go. It's, you know, I'm at the point now where I just don't need to go as much. You know, I same at his house. I mean, I work for Comcast, so I set up his house, you know, great entertainment center, top of the line stuff in there. And he feels now he doesn't need to go to the games. Even at his job, I've set up his laptop. You know, he can watch them live on TV at work, which he could never think of doing in the 70s and 80s. So it's just not the need to go anymore or even check box scores because of the technology that's available. And, you know, that's just the way of the world. So that's all I got.
Well, listen, thanks for the call, man. We really appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
No problem.
Take care. Let's get to Bob. Bob, welcome to the program.
Hi, Grant. How are you?
Good, Bob. What's up?
Hey, last time I called this program, Ted Green was
Wow.
Doing this.
That's forever.
Yes, it was when you guys were back in old Sacramento.
Yep.
I season ticket holder since the beginning. Totally agree with what Vlade's doing, as I think you do.
I sure do.
But one of my things that I'm concerned about is I look at the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yep.
And I look at them, they've got Karl-Anthony Towns, they've got Anthony Wiggins, and they've won 8 more games than us.
Correct.
Or whatever it is, 7 more games than us.
That's right.
How do we take that? Let's say we hit it with Buddy, and we hit it with Scal, and
point guard.
There's the
difference. I know where you're going, and I'm going to tell you the reason why Minnesota, in my opinion, is not further advanced is because they have a point guard that can't shoot. And point guard's the most important position on the floor. And you know what, Bob? You make a phenomenal illustration by using Minnesota as a great example because they have one of the very best big men in the game. They have an explosive small forward. But because they have a point guard that's a liability shooting the ball and a backup that is not nearly as good as we thought, and Chris Dunn. Now, in all fairness, they are playing a lot better in the last 2 months of the season. But based on what you just said, and I think Doug agrees with me, you've got the Kings, regardless of whether they draft him or go out and get one, they must get a point guard. Now, you might say Darren Collison. I'm speaking as if Darren Collison is not going to be on the team next year. And if he is on the team, maybe it would be better to have him as the backup point guard.
If you do draft one, Bob, you probably are going to have, let's just say Darren is on the team. Darren, say he starts and you bring that guy along, kind of what you see the Timberwolves, who you brought up, are doing right now, except Darren is going to be better than the starter that they have there in Ricky Rubio. So you're going to have to go out and get a veteran if Darren leaves. But if Darren stays, then you draft a point guard, bring him along, and when he's ready, put him in that starting position, if Darren is open to that, obviously.
So if I may ask, who if we get, let's say we get the 6th and 7th picks in the draft, or the 7th and the 8th, do you see someone who might be available there?
Yeah, I think that this is a very deep draft with the point guards. You can't predict the draft. I mean, just look at Scott LaBeouciere, for instance. He was taken 28th last year, and, well, if the draft were held all over again, he might be a top 5 pick. So, you know, again, you've got to, Bob, you got to hit a home run in this draft. I don't think there's any question. And if point guards the area that they are planning on going in, they better make sure that they draft the right one.
Yeah, and right now, just looking at it, Bob, you probably got 4 of them that stand out. Now, they could be taken in the first 4 picks, so if you got 5, you could miss. But you got Markelle Fultz at Washington. You got Lonzo Ball from UCLA. You got De'Aaron Fox from Kentucky and Dennis Smith from North Carolina State. And then Frank Ntilikina from France. So that's actually 5 of them. The one that I like that Grant and I have talked about the most is De'Aaron Fox out of Kentucky. And I'd put Lonzo Ball. I just put Lonzo Ball, like, out of the question because I think he's going to be taken so high that he probably wouldn't even be there, Bob.
I totally agree. Well, I appreciate you guys and look forward to talking to you again sometime.
Hey, thank you, Bob. Don't wait 25 more years to call the show, okay, buddy?
Yeah, come on, Bob.
All right. Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Oh, my gosh.
25 years?
Well, it was not a little less. 1994 is what he's referring to. When I was at a station in old Sacramento.
Sacktown.
Yep, and never forget it because my first few months on the job was, one of the months was June of 94, where I was doing the radio show, plus I was doing the sports on Channel 31 at night, and that was the O.J. Simpson car chase, and I was flying between Sacramento and Vancouver.
What?
Vancouver to Sac. I went to that year in the Stanley Cup Finals. I went to games 3 and 4 in Vancouver. I went to game 5 in New York. I went to game 6 in Vancouver, and I went to game 7 in New York. And in between all those nights, I was doing the sports on Channel 31 and my radio show in the afternoon.
We need to pull up some of that footage
serious.
We can see how tired. I'm sure that you probably looked. You know,
I'm not kidding you. I 3 and 4 Vancouver. Came home in between game 4 and 5. Did the show, did the sports, took a red eye out, went flew to game five. Rangers lost up 3-1. They lost game five. Flew back to Sacramento the next morning. Did my show in the afternoon. Went and did the news at night. All right. Left the next day for Vancouver. Went to game six. Came back to Sacramento. Then went to game seven.
Frequent flyer miles?
You know, I don't even remember, and I really mean that. I don't even know if I don't even know. Don't care. I just, that's what I did.
Man. Luckily, they were only in Vancouver, so that wasn't too bad.
Yeah,
but going back to New York.
But getting to Vancouver from here is not the easiest thing in the world.
This is true. No,
there are no nonstops from here to Vancouver.
Go to Portland or go to Seattle?
I went to Seattle.
Okay.
And then a couple times I drove from Seattle to Vancouver.
Okay.
Because of the cost.
2.5,
yeah.
3 hours.
Yep. So I did that. And then.
On the road, Grant?
Oh, yeah. I was on the road. I said I was never going to miss it. My roommate from college, it worked out, who was the Hobey Baker Award winner his senior year in college, which is the Heisman of hockey.
Okay.
And then he, George McPhee, went to play for the New York Rangers. And then after he retired from hockey, he went to law school. And out of law school, he got his first job was with the Vancouver Canucks.
Okay.
So when I went up to Vancouver, I stayed at his place because he was the director of hockey operations.
You're lucky, dude.
So he got me the tickets.
And you didn't have to pay for a place to stay?
No, I stayed with them. He's like, so he goes, Napes, this is unbelievable. He goes, like, I'm working for Canucks, and I got a Rangers fan staying in my place. I go, George, I go, you're a Ranger for life, man, because that was your first team, and you know I'm right. He goes, yeah, all right, but we're going to beat you. So anyway, Rangers won a thrilling game seven.
Wow.
And won the Stanley Cup for the first time since 1940.
Wow.
Yeah, I was there to witness it.
No doubt. You still got the ticket?
You know what? I actually have the ticket that has never been, you know, back then they ripped the ticket.
And you got in without it getting ripped.
I went in with Christopher Mad Dog Russo and Mike Francesa. Walked into the garden at 12 in the afternoon. Chris and I went to lunch before that. And we walked into the security entrance at Madison Square Garden. And we walked in and they said, hello, how you doing? And I walked right in with them into the garden. Tickets were going for $5,000 on the street. And
did you think about
I
selling?
Had, listen to this. I had somebody, I had to have someone went to the will call window, said, hey, are you going to, they got my ticket. Someone that worked with the Rangers brought it to me, and I was already in the garden, and it was never ripped. I still have the ticket.
Wow.
I probably had the only unused ticket.
Yeah, I would.
And that night for Madison Square Garden, I ought to see what it would be on eBay. I might be able to make some money. Maybe I'll put it in one of those Paul George sneakers. I'll make it a double dip.
Get that,
you know what I'm
money,
saying?
Napier. Get that money.
We'll be back. Right? We got to take a break. Is that right? All right. We got to take a break. This is Sports 1140 KHTK. So your mom's birthday is January 25th?
Yes.
Yeah. 1987. Greatest day in New York Giants football history.
Why would that be, Grant?
Super Bowl 39-20. Super Bowl, first one. Thank you very much.
Okay. What was the score?
It was 39-20. They were down 10-9 at the half. Phil Simms, 22-25. MVP. Thank you very much.
Have you? I know you've interviewed Phil. Have you ever told him?
Oh yeah, he knows
this stuff.
He knows.
He knows you're a freak.
He knows. Somebody else told him first, and then he was like, "Oh my God." So yeah, I've had Phil on the show many times.
Oh, that's awesome,
yeah.
Man.
Yep. All right. If you want to, you still have time to call the show at 339-1140. 800-920-1140. Chris is rooting for Chris, you rooting for Honduras tomorrow or the United States?
I'm going to go with the United States.
Oh, you are? Okay.
You're going to go
I don't know, because I don't know if, like, maybe, like, I don't know how this works. I mean, I know he's, well, I'm not really sure how it works. I'll just leave it at that.
People with the Boston hat, all those people, they're not from here. Is that what you say, Grant?
I just, I'm not really sure how to explain it, but that's correct.
Well, you got a couple things working against you there, Chris. I think the hat, though, every day probably rubs Grant a little bit of the wrong way, my friend.
Unbelievable.
Yes. But he reps them out, man.
Yes, he does.
So what happens when there's a head-to-head? Is he wearing that hat and you got a Yankee hat on here?
A lot of times.
And there's going to be tension going on in the air?
We've survived. What I normally do is I turn the lights off in his studio so I can't see him. That's normally
hey,
what it works.
Hold on. Chris, were you working here when the Yankees were up 3-1?
No. I was in China.
Were you?
Yeah, I was with the Kings in 2004. I was in China.
Okay, that's the one
I watched
that
the games
that's
over
the
there.
One I missed. It hurt
you. You missed that one?
Yeah.
What year did you leave the Kings?
That would have been the next year. I think it was 2004. 5.
So how did you miss the China trip?
Because I was here getting that shock therapy.
You are kidding me. Is that why you didn't go to China?
Yeah, on my foot.
Oh, you missed one of the great trips in the history of mankind. Seriously?
Well, I'm sure.
Is that what it was?
Grant, anywhere we were traveling together was always the best history.
It was. No, it was great. So is that why you were back? Because you were hurt?
I had the plantar fasciitis, so they said, get surgery and do this.
I'm going to tell you, and you know this, and you know how much I love to travel.
Yeah.
To this day, one of the most amazing things I've ever done in my life was in that trip to go to the Great Wall and walk on the Great Wall of China. And I was just like, wow. You're like, you didn't even... It was almost like make-believe, you know?
Really?
And it was the most spectacular, beautiful day, and you could just see the wall go on forever over the, you know, because, you know, the terrain is very hilly and mountainous, and you could look out in the distance, and there was not a cloud in the sky, and you could just see the wall just kind of, you could, it was like a line in the, and just disappear over the hills.
They say that you can see it from space because it's so...
I'm going to tell you right now. And then I went back to China with the Kings 2 years ago and repeated it again. It was great stuff. Doug?
It is 6:54. Time for RC Country Hobbies. More than toys for big boys. It's for everyone in the family. 6011 Folsom Boulevard, Sacramento.
Hey, my thanks to everyone listening this morning when I was filling in for Jim. Always fun to do that show. And then, Doug, we'll talk to you tomorrow, buddy, before Kings basketball.
You got it. Go Kings.
All right. For Doug Christie, Grant Napier, so long, everybody.